This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Rock Springs Online Worship Service. Wherever you're at, you may have a copy of God's Word, you may not. And that's not so important because we have it here on the screen. We're going to look at Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The Bible says this, and the apostles. Now, by the way, that's a pretty select group. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase my faith. Many times I feel like the man in the Bible that said, I believe God, but help my unbelief. Would you increase my faith? I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about how faith grows, how we can, in practical ways, grow our faith. The story I love to tell about a medical missionary, she was actually a lady that was a nun down on the Texas-Mexico border. And she was down there doing medical mission work one day, and she was driving her station wagon, and she ran out of gas. She started looking in that automobile, and she didn't have anything to get gas in. But she did notice, because she was a medical missionary, she had a bedpan. So she got that bedpan and walked quite a ways to a local gas service station. She got some gas and carefully walked back, making sure she didn't spill the gas. She got to the automobile, that old station wagon, and made a homemade funnel and started pouring that gas into that station wagon. About that time, her priest passed by. He rolled down the window and he yelled out these words, "Sister, you have more faith than I do." Well, I will say this. Whether we have great faith or little faith, I am convinced that faith is vitally important. And as you listen today, I want you to know faith is important to every person's life. You say, well, Pastor, why is faith so important to my life? Well, first of all, folks, it's impossible to please God without faith. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, if our desire is to please God, and I trust it is, I've often said, when you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please, but if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. But reality is, we can't please God unless we have faith. And I want to have faith. I want to demonstrate faith in my life because I truly want to please God, and I know you do also. But there's a second reason why faith is so vital. It's the door to what God can do in your life. It's the door to what God can do in your life. You know, the Bible says in Daniel 11 and 32, the people that do know God shall be strong and do exploits. God wants to do good things. God wants to do big things in your life. But I want you to know, faith is the door. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 9 and 29. And he touched their eyes. And he touched their eyes. A healing took place. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now get this, folks. Not according to your finances. Not according to your fate. Not according to the family you're from. Not according to the friends that you associate with. According to your faith, be it unto you. What a tremendous promise. In essence, you get to choose how much God can bless you. You get to choose how much God can do in your life because faith is a door to what God can do. Somebody said, pray and believe and you shall receive. Pray and doubt and you'll do without. Well, I think there's some truth to that. Because faith is the door to what God can do. Then there's a third thing I want you to see. Faith conquers fear. If there's ever been a time that we need faith, it's now. Because people are controlled by fear. Fear spreading much faster than the virus is spreading. People are living lives and fears in their spirit. They're just dominated by fear. Now think about this. Fear gives us uncertainty. Fear gives us worry. Fear gives us anxiety. Fear gives us physical problems. It can literally affect us mentally. It can affect us emotionally. Fear affects us physically. It affects every aspect of our life. So if fear gives us all those things, what does faith do for us, Pastor? Well, look what the Bible says. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Look here. Faith gives you confidence. Boy, in times like these, couldn't you use some confidence? In days like we're living, couldn't you use some assurance? Couldn't you use some confidence? Well, folks, that's what faith does. You say, well, Pastor, I could never live a life of faith. Oh, yes, you could. I've got one better than that. Not only yes, you could, yes, you do. Let me explain. We go to doctors, and we can't pronounce the doctor's name. We go to doctors today. Many times we can't. Guys like me for sure can't pronounce even their names. They give us a prescription. Well, we can't even read that prescription. We take that prescription to a pharmacist that we don't know, and that pharmacist fills it with a medication that we don't even know the name of that medication. We don't understand that medication. But you know what's amazing? We go through all that and we put that in our body. Don't tell me you're not a person of faith. Every time you get on an elevator, you're a person of faith. Every time you get on an airplane, you're a person of faith. I want you to know something. Every time you've been out somewhere and you ask a stranger, think about it. We'll ask a rank stranger, a person that we don't know from Adam. We'll ask that man or that woman for directions, and we'll turn around and take their directions. I'll go in places all the time. And if they're giving away food samples, I'll sample everything they're giving away. You say, well, Pastor, I ate food samples too. That tells me you've got faith. I mean, you invest your money. You invest your money with a stockbroker. That tells me you live a life of faith. Here's the question. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to trust the character of God? And am I going to rest on what God has promised? Because, see, you got to understand something. You're a person of faith. It's just a matter, am I going to put my faith in God? See, the Bible talks about different levels of faith. It talks about no faith. No faith in Mark 4 and 40. No faith. But you know, Jesus four times addressed his disciples, and he said, ye of little faith. I mean, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. In Matthew 6:30, Matthew 8:26, Matthew 14:31, Matthew 16 and verse 8, always his inner court, his disciples, he said, oh, ye of little faith. So you said today, Pastor, I've just got little faith. Well, you're in probably good company. Maybe we're in good company if we got little faith. But I'll tell you something. You don't want no faith. You don't want little faith. But the faith that Jesus commended was great faith. Two times in the Bible, men were commended. Both times they were Gentiles. That's ironic. But two times in the Bible, he commended people for having great faith. And let me tell you something. What we need in the days in which we're living, we don't need no faith. We don't need little faith, but we need great faith. And here's what I want to say to you. You can lift your faith. Your faith can grow. Your faith doesn't have to stay stagnant. You can be a faith person. You say, well, Pastor, how can I do that? Just stick with me. Just stick with me. I would normally say if you get finished before I do, just slip out. But there's nobody to leave. It's just me anyway, so I think I'll stay. So just stick with me. Six ways to increase your faith. Number one, practical teaching. Practical teaching. I want to congratulate you because what you're doing right now, you're lifting your faith. Your faith is increasing. You say, how do you know that? Because what Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We increase our faith when we get into the word of God. We increase our faith when we get into the word of God, and the word of God gets into us. D.L. Moody, a great preacher from days gone by, said, quit praying for faith. Pick up your Bible. Well, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, every word of the Bible is true. There was a preacher named Billy Sunday. He was a converted baseball player. Billy Sunday was preaching on one occasion, and right in the middle of his message, a guy stood up and he said, you can't prove one word of that book. Billy kept preaching, and that guy repeatedly kept saying, you can't prove one word of that book. Finally, Billy Sunday walked over to that guy. He got him in a headlock. He took his fingers and started wringing his nose, and blood went in every direction. And the guy said, why did you do that for? And Billy Sunday said, Proverbs 30 and 33, the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. I just proved one word of that book. I want you to know, folks, not only one word, but every word of that book is true, and it builds faith in our hearts. Do you realize Psalms 139 verse 14 says that you were wonderfully and fearfully made? No. You didn't evolve from anything. I don't want to be like the guy that said, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banana tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. No. We don't want to be like that guy. You were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. And let me explain something to you. According to Jeremiah 1 and 5, God had a unique function, and you were made for that unique function. No, it wasn't like you came out of your mother's womb and God said, now wait, I've got to get a plan for this baby. No. God had a plan for you. God had a plan for you when you were just a twinkle in your mama and daddy's eyes. Somebody said, oh, Pastor Benny, that child was an accident. No. Maybe accidental parents, but no accidental children. God had a plan so unique, and that's why you were born. And then Jeremiah 29, verse 11, said that plan was to prosper you and not to harm you. That plan was to give you a hope and a wonderful future. And you know, God said, not only am I going to give them a hope and a future in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, he said, what I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to always go before them in life. I'm always going to go before them. I'm not going to fail them. They don't have to be fearful, nor do they have to be dismayed, because I'm going to always be with them. Because he said in Romans 8 and 28, I'm working all things for their good. I'm going to work everything. Even the things that they don't understand that seem bad, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to use it for good. Now listen to me, folks. I just shared five or six verses and I gave you a faith lift. I gave you a faith lift. You want to get your faith to increase? Practical teaching of the Word of God. There's a second way we increase our faith, and that's through prayer. Now let me explain what I mean about prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, I'd never noticed this till this week. I love the verse that says, call unto me and I'll answer thee. But look what it says. I'll show thee great and mighty things. Here's what I believe. I believe God wants to take the prayers in your life and he wants to show you his faithfulness. If you look back over the prayers that God has answered in your life, it will show you his faithfulness and it will build faith in your heart and in your life. I've told the story 1,000 times, but during, you know, Einstein said, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. And I've tried to look for opportunities in the middle of all this difficulty. And I'm writing a book right now along with a writer called Defy the Odds. Defy the Odds. And I tell a story, I'll tell it as fast as I can, about going on a date 2 or 3 times and falling in love and wanting to get married. You say, that's puppy love. It's real to the dogs, amen? And after just a short time, I wanted to get married. And that little girl said, you're going to have to ask Daddy for my hand in marriage. And I did. And he said, I don't recommend you marry. I said, why would you say that? He said, well, you're just as healthy as you can be. Why would you want to marry a girl that has 8 or 10 seizures a day? She has seizures and she'll literally lose 5 pounds through a seizure because of the pull on her body. Are you sure you're a kid, you want to do that? I said to Mr. Roberts, I love her and I want to marry her. We got married, we were so young, we didn't know whether to go on a honeymoon or summer camp. But we got married nonetheless. And she had seizures, just like he said. She went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and they said there's a scar on her brain. She'll always have the seizures. It's too delicate to touch surgically. She'll always have the seizures. So she kept taking the medication, Dilantin, phenobarbital, Miloreal nerve pills. And one day Barbara said to me, I don't have to take that medicine anymore. God's touched me. And I said, Barbara, I think you need to keep taking the medicine. And finally I said to God one day, working, running a milling machine, I said, God, I'll make a deal with you. Barbara don't have to take the medicine on the weekends because I can be there. But she has to take it during the week because I can't be there. And God spoke to my heart. And he said, son, what can you do that I can't do? I went to my boss and I said, I need to go home. I walked into that house. I looked at my wife and I said, you'd never have to take the medicine anymore. That's been better than 3 decades ago. She's never had a seizure since. Here's what I know, folks. I've had faith. God's blessed the ministry here at Rock Springs Church. But many times I've alluded back to the prayers that she prayed. That God answers prayers. And God does great things. And if you'll let the prayers that God has answered in your life, it will lift faith. It will lift faith in your heart. Look back at how faithful he's been. Let me tell you a third way that God lifts faith. That's providential relationships. And what I mean by providential relationships, just as Elijah was out plowing a field, and Elijah comes by and puts his mantle around his neck, God will bring people into our lives that will challenge us to do things that we would not have done on our own. God will bring people into our lives that had those people not came into our lives, our faith would have not built like it has been, like it did build. God brings people into our lives that will challenge us to do things that we're insecure about doing within ourselves, that we would have never done. We would have never taken that step forward had God not brought that person into our lives. I remember years ago telling a pastor, I said, I feel like God's called me to preach. I said on a Sunday morning, I feel like God's called me to preach. He looked at me and he said,
That's great. He said, get ready. Tonight you'll be preaching. I said, oh, no. I'm not ready. He said, well, has God called you to preach or has he not? God brings people into our lives that challenge us to do things, and they help us to do things, and they open doors for us, and they have confidence in us when we don't have confidence in ourselves. And we hear them, and it's their teaching, or it's their sharing, it's their exhorting. It's just they walk through life with us. And it's pivotal. It's providential relationships. Let me tell you the fourth way in which God increases our faith. That's pivotal circumstances. Pivotal circumstances. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. This is what I know. A faith that can't be tried can't be trusted. And what God's going to do, God's going to take us through hardships in life because God's going to build our faith. God will build your faith more during the hardships of life than he ever will in the good times. You say, Pastor, it was the death, it was the divorce, it was the devastation, it was the betrayal, it was the hurt, it was the loss, it was the anguish. Friend, if you will allow those hard times, God will show himself more real in the difficulties of life than he ever will in the good times. Keep in mind, he's the lily of the valley. That is to say, he'll get down in the valley with you. One place the scripture said, in the valley is where he restoreth my soul. I found him blooming where heartaches abundantly reign. Who would have dreamed so much joy and so much pain? It's good on the mountain, but they come and they go. But down in the valley, there's always a rose. See, when I was in school, I didn't do too real well. I was in the bottom half that made the top half possible. I remember one time I brought a report card home, and it wasn't good, and my mother was very upset, and my sister said, but Mama, there's a good side. And my mother said, what could be the good side? And my sister said, at least we know Benny's not cheating. I didn't do real well, but when I was in school, I had a lesson, and then I had a test. What I've learned about life, I have tests that teaches me lessons. And God puts us through tests. I don't believe he puts us through tests so we can prove ourselves to him. But I believe he puts us through tests so he can prove himself to us. That he can prove himself that he is more than enough. Did you ever think about those three Hebrew children? The Bible says they was thrown in that fiery furnace. Look what the Bible says. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into that burning fiery furnace. These men, notice, they were bound, folks, in their hose and in their hats, in their other garments, and were cast into that furnace that was seven times hotter than normal. Now look, they were bound. They were bound. But look what verse 25 says. And he answered and said, I see four men loose. They were bound, but now they were loose. If you will allow God, he'll take things that are holding you bondage, and he'll bring you out of, and he'll bring you over. He'll loose you. He'll set you free. He'll give you victory. And look what the Bible says. They're walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth one
is likened to the Son of God. I wish I could have been there. I would have said, oh, King, he's not likened to the Son of God. He is the Son of God. You say, well, Pastor, why didn't God deliver him out of the fire? He delivered him in the fire. And ladies and gentlemen, he'll deliver you in the fire also, if you will allow him. There's a fifth way that God builds our faith. He builds our faith through the principle of giving. God has taught me in my life more about trust through giving than any other arena. But it's the place in Malachi 3:10 where God said, put me to the test. God said, prove me. Prove me. I promise you, I'll be faithful. And men, listen closely. God will teach you more about faith through giving than any other area of your life. Let me tell you something. Barbara and I went through a period. We came as pastor. We had no medical insurance. We certainly had no dental insurance. And she and I both needed major dental work. But we never told anybody. And I remember we was in a campaign to raise money for a building. And Barbara and I prayed and I prayed and I said, I think this is the amount we need to give. And I was praying, I was talking to the Lord. I said, God, that's the amount that I feel like Barbara and I need to give to this project the church was doing at that time. And God said, double it. And I'll never forget. I said, God, I'm doing all I can do. And he said, that's your problem. You're looking at what you can do instead of what I can do. I said, okay. We'll double it, God. I'm going to trust you. And I preached on a Sunday night. And some ladies came up to me and they said, we need to talk to you and Miss Barbara. I said, okay. They said, we work for a dentist. And every year, we choose a family to help out with dental. We didn't have medical insurance. We sure didn't have dental. But every year we choose a family. And this year we've chosen your family. And we want to help you with any dental work you need. Let me tell you something, folks. God's taught me more about trusting him through giving than any other arena. And all I want to say to you is you can trust him. There's a sixth and last way to increase our faith. And that's our perspective of God. Our perspective of God. See, the size of your faith is going to be determined by the size of your God. It's going to be determined by how big you see God. Do you see him as the one who measured out the water in the hollow of his hand? Do you see him as the one who didn't begin when the beginning began, but the one who began the beginning? Do you see him as the one who didn't start with start, but the one who started start? Do you see him as the one who before there was a was, he was? In the beginning, God. See, for 40 days, the Israelites were scared to death of a giant that was 9 feet tall. Because if you know anything about Jewish boys, they're small. And this giant is 9 feet tall. And he weighs over 500 pounds. They saw themselves compared to that giant. But a young boy named David comes on the scene. And he said, the Lord delivered me out of a paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a bear. And God will deliver this Philistine into my hand. See those Israelites? They saw themselves in comparison to that giant. But David, he saw that giant in comparison to God. Psalms 34 says, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Those stars, they seem far away. But when you put a telescope on them, they become so big. They get magnified. That moon seems so far away, but when you put a telescope on it, it gets magnified. Oh, folks, we need to magnify God, and we need to see God just as who He is. We need to see how great He is, and we need to see that God can do anything. That with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There's a preacher. He passed away in the year 2000. His name was S.M. Lockridge. S.M. stands for Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. Well, a name like that, you know he could preach. This is what S.M. Lockridge said. The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of the heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's endearingly strong. He's eternally sincere. He's entirely steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. I wonder, listeners today, do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's sinners like me, Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Do you know him? Why, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be our all-sufficient Savior. Again, do you know him? He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens, he sustains. He guards, he guides. He heals the sick. Oh, he cleanses the leper. Do you know him? Because he forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I wonder today, my heart is, do you know him? Oh, he's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Oh, do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but really he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him off your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. Do you know him? Let me say something. What S.M. Lockridge said, I say to you, do you know him? Do you know him? This week, a precious Mexican lady was working with my wife, cleaning house. And that precious Mexican lady said to my wife, I'm so scared. My wife said to her, you don't have to be scared. Friend, let me tell you something. I lived my life years, I was scared. I wasn't scared, certainly, of Corona. I didn't know anything about Corona. But I was scared of dying. I lived years of being scared of dying. I lived years of being scared of going to hell. You say, well, I believe this and I believe that. This is all I'm going to say, folks. Eternity's too long to be wrong. Let's don't gamble on this. She said, I'm scared. My wife said to her, you don't have to be scared. And right there in our home, Barbara led her to Christ. That precious lady said, I'm not scared anymore. Today, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be controlled by fear. You can accept Jesus, the one who will go with you all the way. And I want to encourage you right now. If you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm right with God, I want you to pray a simple prayer. It's the strength of the prayer, not the length of it. A simple prayer. And I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. You say, well, I'm with people. Well, steal away. Do whatever's necessary. Go in another room. Walk outside. Get alone by yourself. But God providentially placed you here in this message for right now. So right where you're at, pray this simple prayer with me. Just bow your head. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And God, I confess them to you right now. Lord, forgive me. I really am sorry, God. Come into my life. Now, thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you so much, God, for coming into my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.